What's up, guys? Welcome to this podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. You're joined by Forrest Walker, Red 94. How you doing, man?
Hey, pretty good.
Also joined by Paul at Rockets Intellect on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, too. Just sort of coping with the free agency signings and whatnot.
Are you off the ledge? Like, are you feeling better about the Rockets free agency now?
Yeah. I think I'm off the ledge.
Okay, so today the Rockets made two signings as opposed to yesterday where they made no signings. To start off the day, the Rockets made an agreement with Ryan Anderson, formerly from the New Orleans Pelicans, for 4 years, $80 million. What are your initial reactions to that, guys?
Well,
one thing that I will say is that the offense is going to be awesome.
Yeah,
that's something that we can basically guarantee with Harden in a fairly prolific offensive stretch four. Anderson averaged an efficient 17 last year. Pelicans were 6 points better. Their Pelicans offense was 6 points better with 6 points per 100 possessions better with Anderson on the floor. And they were actually better on defense with him on the floor, too, which was interesting for me. So, you know, Anderson is not going to be an adequate defender. He is going to be a genuine weakness on the team, and teams are going to seek him out on off, are going to seek him out and exploit him. But he's going to help the team offensively and make things easier for Harden. And I feel like this is the type of move that Harden would approve of because I know for a fact that he likes operating with space. He really hated that Capella and Dwight Twin Towers lineup, which was why they eventually scratched it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keep Harden happy, have a fun offense, try to win some games. Despite the defense, I guess, is the formula.
How are they going to seek him out on defense? How are they going to choose between all those different bounties to go after? These opposing teams looking at the Rockets.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal in the playoffs. I mean, they're going to – every pick and roll down the floor, they're going to search out Ryan Anderson. I'm not sure they're necessarily going to attack Harden, although they did do that with Curry this year in the playoffs, so that interests me if that's going to be a real strategy moving forward, you know, attacking guards off pick and roll. But I know for a fact that's going to happen with Ryan Anderson because that happened with pretty much every bad pick and roll big throughout the NBA with, you know, with Enes Kanter, with Pau Gasol. You know, all these guys were searched out on pick and roll and, you know, looked for on mismatches. So I'm like, 100% sure that he's going to be a target. But if the Rockets can somehow surround a decent defense around Ryan Anderson, I think they can make it work. Although I wouldn't bet on it because I think Clint Capella is still too young and too raw to be good enough to make up for Ryan Anderson's weaknesses. It's still a possibility. We don't know how much Clint Capella has improved over the summer. We don't know how much weight he's put on. We don't know pretty much if Trevor Reese is actually going to try this year. Same thing with James Harden. We have no idea how these guys are going to be defensively going into next year. But it's possible. At least you hold on to that.
I mean, it's definitely an upgrade over not signing him.
Yeah.
That's the part that's obvious to me, that definitely you could have some quibbles with the money. And we'll see what happens with that. But it's a different league now. He's an upgrade. We don't know how much of an upgrade. I think he's going to make the offense better, obviously. I don't think we need to worry about well, there's a lot of talk about that, where the effort's going to be. I think the effort's going to be better, but we'll see how much it matters. Yeah. Sort of my nightmare scenario is the Rockets becoming like a perennial 50-52 win team for the remainder of Harden's contract with pretty good, not great guys around him. So at the least, they'll be fun to watch, I guess. That's something.
Yeah, that is something. Last year, they were horrible to watch. And at the end of the day, Ryan Anderson is a good basketball player. It's just, can you make up for the weaknesses in his game to justify the signing? And also, I want to talk about the number. $80 million stretched over 4 years. The contract is backloaded, so he's going to make around $25 million towards the end of his contract in like his fourth year. And he's making around $17 million this year. What do you guys think of the number? I'm not too sure on the, if I agree with the number. Originally, I thought $19 million a year would be a fair assessment for Ryan Anderson. 20 seems a little bit too high for just for my taste, but in this market, I guess you can justify it. What do you guys think?
If the cap keeps going up, it's not going to be a big deal, but we'll see how long the cap keeps going up like this. Probably not that much longer.
I guess I'm okay with it overall. It's about the equivalent of like $15 million from last year. And the cap is going to go up even more next year. I think I forget how much, but it's going
to
go.
Yeah, it's going to go up to $107 million. So right now it's at 94. It's going to go up roughly $13 million.
All right. So
that's a pretty big increase.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm good with it overall. It's pretty heavily backloaded though.
Yeah.
So something tells me that Morey plans to do something. Has plans not to for Ryan Anderson not to spend his entire time with the Rockets, so that makes it a little bit better too,
I guess. Yeah, you can always get out of a contract you don't like, especially in this NBA with the growing salary caps.
I'm not so sure.
With Lynn and Oshik, as long as you have like something halfway decent to package with them, you have an escape hatch.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, because I'm not sure if Ryan Anderson is going to age particularly well, considering he's not aging well right now. And he has the bad back, he's battled through injuries, he's slow-footed already. I'm not sure if he's going to age particularly well. I'm not sure if a team were willing to take a flyer out on Ryan Anderson towards the end of that contract. But it's going to be interesting to see. If Timofey Mozgov can demand $65 million from the Lakers, I guess you could justify this contract. Also, the Rockets made another signing today. They signed Eric Gordon for $53 million over 4 years. Initial reactions?
Pretty economical in this climate.
Yeah, I think I'm lower on him than everybody else is, especially like amongst the basketball Twitter community. But, you know, the way other people view him, that's a fine deal. I'm going to have to go ahead and look at some film and see what exactly why everybody is so big on him. But if he is what people say that he is, I am very much fine with that deal, and it'll be good in D'Antoni's system. Also, something that I think is interesting, Anderson and Gordon played in New Orleans last year in Gentry's system. Mm-hmm. Gentry was obviously an assistant coach for D'Antoni. Mm-hmm. And the 7 seconds or less teams. So maybe their experience with a lot of the D'Antoni sets and experience with how to deal with the pace. So that's also something.
Well, as long as I can get step one down. And step one is please actually hit some of the open threes that you're being given.
Yeah. If anything, you can't say that Daryl Morey didn't try to get shooters this offseason. My biggest thing about the Eric Gordon contract is it doesn't look good coming off the Courtney Lee, right after the Courtney Lee contract signed with the Knicks, because he signed for roughly $3 million less over the same amount of time, 4 years. So it doesn't look good coming off of that. But if you exclude it from by itself on its own, I think it's a decent deal. My biggest thing is, can Eric Gordon stay healthy for at least 70 games a year? And he hasn't showed a tendency to do that yet. He's averaging around 60 games a year for his career. My biggest thing is, can he stay healthy, and can you depend on him come playoff time to stay healthy? I like the deal. I'm not too big on it. I think it's okay. I think both of these contracts, they're not particularly great or good. They're okay. I guess my biggest thing is you can justify them. I just wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't call them value contracts.
Yeah, that's kind of average for what these players are going to produce. That's sort of the reality, though. I mean, if I can go off for a second here, this is, with the cap raising like this, with the dearth of talent and free agents that are usable out there, this is just as good as it's going to get. You know, if you want to sign a player, you're going to have to pay them more than you'd like to right now. So I'm just going to hope that things work out later on. And clearly the Rockets weren't going to sort of sit around and say, oh, well, you know, we don't want to make a bad signing, so we're just going to sit on our hands. That's not really an option for them right now. So this is not the worst case scenario. I feel like in a larger sense, we're kind of in the middle of a not very good case scenario, but this is not the worst this particular couple of days could have gone.
Yeah. And there's also another way to look at this, the really cynical way where you could view it as the Rockets got the player they wanted since 2013 and the coach they wanted since 2007. I choose not to look at it that way, but I guess you can view it that way. My biggest thing is these are good players. At the end of the day, they can and probably will help this Rockets team. And the Rockets are going to be more fun to watch. And that's pretty much all we can ask for going into next year, because if they're more fun to watch, they're more appealing to free agents, and they're more, you know, attractive for free agents next year to come want to play in a system like this.
Yeah, and I'll lay out like a best case scenario for you about Eric Gordon, which is that there was a couple of years ago when Eric Gordon was sort of being touted as, you know, the up and coming shooting guard in the league. Mm-hmm. And it turns out he has a lot of similar skills to James Harden, just James Harden is a lot better at them.
Yeah.
So, potentially, in the best-case scenario, Eric Gordon kind of becomes a James Harden replacement in the second unit, and you don't have, no shot creation, second unit, offense death. I'm not sure it's really going to pan out that way. It'll probably be not quite that good or not quite as bad as it could go, but in a dream scenario, that's what would happen.
Yeah, Gordon has lost a lot of athleticism since he first came into the league. When he was first there, he was like a monster dunker, and not quite on the level of Russell Westbrook athleticism, but probably just a notch below that. And the injuries have derailed him in that sense. So I wouldn't keep my hopes up high in terms of rediscovering his ability as a young player. But I think that he'll make for a very good player off the bench potentially.
Yeah, and there's talk about Eric Gordon actually starting if you put James Harden at the point guard. Would you guys entertain that possibility?
I guess it's nice to have that option, depending on what team you're going up against and what lineup you're going up against.
You know, if it was like Courtney Lee that they signed, which is the guy that I probably wanted mm-hmm. in the end, I would have been all for Harden just starting at the point guard and, you know, being listed as an actual point guard. And Courtney Lee playing shooting guard, because Courtney Lee can actually like defend players at an adequate level and mm-hmm. be versatile on defense. But Eric Gordon is not that. The many things that Eric Gordon is, he is not that. And I would not want to see a starting lineup with Harden, Eric Gordon, and Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, and one big positive of signing Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson is, you know, I think Harden's usage rate is going to go down a significant amount. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot less. He's going to play a lot less minutes, in my opinion. And, you know, the load's going to be less on him, and it's going to be a lot less, you know, of an onus for him to carry that offense. Going into age 27 of his career, I don't think the minute load was, you know, particularly healthy to put on him. So early in his career, and now I'm glad that's somewhat been alleviated. So let's go ahead and get into questions. If Harden can fix his defense, and we know he can the Rockets be somewhat decent on defense next year? Maybe. If you were to ask me, I don't think so. I think they're going to be around 15 to 20 ish in defensive efficiency. You know, Jeff Bezdelic and Roy Rogers certainly helps a little bit. I don't think that's enough necessarily to facilitate a good defense. I still think they need good defensive pieces. And sure, they have some in, you know, Clint Capela, Trevor Ariza. I guess you can count Patrick Beverley in there. They have some defensive pieces, but I don't think they're, you know, well-suited to have a top 10 to 15 offense. Defense. Just yet. Maybe going into next free agency, they can get those players and help. This free agency is not over yet. Maybe they can use the $7-8 million in cap space they have left to sign a good defender. But if you were to ask me, I don't think so. What about you guys?
If the load is significantly if Harden's load goes down, I think that they have the potential to be, like, decent, respectable, especially if, like, Clint Capela really takes a leap forward in his development. But realistically, the realistic expectation is, like, 16th best defense. Like, realistic expectation with optimism is, like, 16th or something like that. And, you know, in theory, Ariza and Beverly are good defenders. At one point in their career, both of them certainly were, but they both need to rediscover some of that, because if they don't, that this will be a very, 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 very bad defense. They need to have, like, at least 2+ defenders on the floor at all times, with as many bad defenders as they have now.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. That can they be a decent defense? Yeah. Will they? No. Like, it could happen. Like you said, there's still a lot of free agency left. We could see some signings and trades going on. We might see this roster turn over a little bit, but yeah, I would expect them to be probably middle of the pack defensively, especially if, you know, if people are keyed in even a little bit, which I don't think we're going to have the whole, like, quite as much of spiritual malaise this season as we saw last season. So it's not going to be great, but it probably won't be life-shattering either.
Yeah, and if anything, they'll probably still be like top 5 in offense. So I guess the net rating will still
better be.
Yeah, so at least the net rating will be, you know, maybe top 10 if you can, if you're optimistic. So that question was from Yassine. Next question from Justin. Do you see the Rockets taking any flyers on a Rajon Rondo or a Seth Curry to help Houston? That's interesting, because I think with the restricted free agent market opening up, I think I can realistically see them taking a flyer on, you know, Allen Crabbe or Seth Curry in the restricted free agent market. I'm not sure if they have the necessary cap to do so, but it'd be interesting to see if they do, you know, do some creative stuff in the next coming days.
Yeah,
that's a name I like to hear.
Yeah,
Seth Curry maybe. I think the Kings have intentions to keep him, and if the Rockets don't have a ton of salary left, and I think they want to make sure that they have space for next offseason to sign a star. So Rondo is just definitely off the table, because
yeah, he's just not good. He's just not good. I mean, yeah. I don't want to say that, but I mean, he's just not a good starting quality point guard anymore. I mean, I know people look at the assist numbers and you know, they go crazy, but in terms of, like, a floor positive, he's just not that anymore at this point in his career. He's not a good defender. He's still a good passer. He can't shoot the three ball. He can't shoot the mid-range jumper. He's just not that good anymore. That's just me. You continue.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. I have concerns about Rondo's locker room presence, to be honest. After the last couple of years, how we've seen him act and what we've seen him do, I don't think the Rockets can handle something like that anyway. So even at a minimum, I would stay clear of Rondo.
Yeah, and I can certainly see them going into the restricted free agent market, because I don't see why not. I mean, at this point, would it really hurt the Rockets to throw offers at Allen Crabbe and see what happens? Or Seth Curry or whatever? Because I know it's going to be pretty hard for the Blazers to match, considering they just signed Evan Turner. It's going to be pretty hard for them to, you know, keep all their wings and devote that much cap space to these guys.
Okay, I'm all in on trying to pick up both Allen Crabbe and Steph Curry, and let me tell you why. Because I want to see what Crabbe Curry is like.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting in the next coming days if they try. I don't think that they will, because I don't think they have the necessary cap. But we'll see. We'll see. Next question from Raphael. Can the Rockets get a second star this year? Not with the cap space they have. Maybe if they try to, after the moratorium period, if they try to do a sign and trade with Ryan Anderson, maybe. I've seen teams do that before. I'm not necessarily sure if they will do that, because the Rockets seem to be pretty invested in Ryan Anderson. They've been going after him for such a long time. But maybe. What do you guys think?
I mean, if you can, sure.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think the getting a star thing has been another star thing has been put off till next offseason, pretty much.
Yeah, Then that's pretty much what I agree. Do you think we move Brewer and KJ for additional cap room? What are the best last moves? This is from Dom Hackman. So I don't think they'll be able to move Brewer. As far as KJ, I think they actually need to, you know, take a flyer on his defense improving this year, because they don't have any wing defenders anymore. At this point, they only have Trevor Ariza and KJ to depend on right now. So I don't think they move KJ. And as far as what kind of last moves I see them making, you know, like I said, I think they might take a swing at Allen Crabbe or whatever in the restricted free agent market. That's pretty much what I think.
Someone wants to just like trade for Brewer in a space or something. Like, if somebody actually wants Brewer, just to, for whatever reason, they're underneath the floor, feel like maybe taking out a flyer on a guy whose contract is honestly way lower than everyone else's at the moment. Yeah, sure, why not? But I don't think they're going to be fielding a lot of calls for players at our teams actually wanting to pick up Brewer. So he's probably going to stick around for a little while.
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah, I don't think they're going to move Brewer. And it seems like the Kings are actually competent this year, so I don't think you can fool Vladdy into taking that cap hit this year. But whatever, you know, you can try it at the trade deadline, maybe, if Corey Brewer has a good season, to maybe move that contract.
Maybe the Sixers think they're good and need wing defense or something.
Yeah, maybe. The Sixers are going in a totally different direction ever since Brian Colangelo came in. So I could maybe, you know, see the Rockets trying to trade him to the Sixers at the trade deadline, maybe. So how do you think this affects Demo's future and role? This is from James Davidson. I think they still try to retain Demo, just because I don't see why not, because I don't think teams are going to throw a lot of money at Demo, because I think, you know, everybody's worried about the back and everybody's worried about how bad of a season he had. And I think the Rockets are pretty invested in trying to keep, you know, Demo. We saw that picture of, you know, Demo and Mike D'Antoni at dinner together. So it seems like they're trying to bring him back. It seems like he'd be a good fit in D'Antoni's offense. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he'll probably be pretty good at whatever price they get him at. Because I think everyone's sort of blowing their cap space right now to some degree. So they might be able to pick him up for less than the exorbitant sum he would get if he was unrestricted.
Yeah, unless the Mavs throw some ridiculous offer at Demo, which I can totally see them doing, because they just threw a max offer at Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, they're busy with Harry B.
Yeah, I can totally see them going after him, but in general, I don't think anybody's going to try to go after Demo.
Yeah, I think that Demo, they're probably going to match any reasonable offer with Demo. And I think our friend Rockets Insider reported that D'Antoni told Demo that he wanted him to be his main power forward. And that does not appear to be realistic at this point, but I still think D'Antoni would like to have Demo. And I feel like that will be good. That will be a very tempting thing for Demo. I think he'll be intrigued by the idea of actually getting consistent playing time. JB did not really do that last year. So I think he'll probably come back, because they have just enough. They have enough space to keep him and still be comfortable.
Yeah.
Third big's not the worst role.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of Demo's game. I really do hope they keep Demo, because I think he's a good player. I think the Rockets would serve him well to be a third big off the bench or whatnot. I think he's a good post player. He can shoot the three ball, and I can see him fitting in D'Antoni's system. So yeah, I hope they keep him, and I think they will, because I don't think anybody's really interested. And yeah, that concludes the podcast. Do you guys have any, you know, concluding thoughts as we head into the final days of free agency?
If you want a ghost, anyone can sign Terrence Jones. He's out there waiting to haunt your team.
Yeah, certainly. Throw a max offer at Terrence Jones. Let's see it happen. What about you, Paul? Do you have any concluding thoughts?
Defense.
So, yeah, that's it. Look, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, we're just going to see if a team can actually get an offensive efficiency of 1.5 points per possession.
Yeah.
It'll be the adventure this season.
Yeah, I'm 100% sure the Rockets are probably going to average like 150 points per game next season. So it's going to be interesting. I want to see how this team is next year. It looks like it's going to be fun, and that's all you can ask for. So that's it for the Red Nation News podcast. Follow us on SoundCloud. Follow us on iTunes. Give us a good rating on iTunes. That really helps. Give us a good rating if you enjoy the podcast. If you didn't enjoy the podcast, go to somebody else's podcast. Give them a negative rating. Come back to ours. Give us a positive rating. That's just the right thing to do. Good night, guys.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.